This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Holy cow!
Please shut up!
Please shut up!
Gangsters, what's up, guys?
Here comes Brave! Here's the crowd of the play!
You're killing me, Smalls!
Brave win! Brave win! Brave win!
I would be honored if you played football for this team.
Me play football?
Vance Dooley and a Georgia damn Bulldog, baby!
Starting late. My mom made me put on my jacket, and then she made me do the dishes.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
That's so funny. Last time I heard that, I laughed so hard I fell off my dinosaur.
Just a bit outside.
Oh, look at the sugar falling out of the sky. Look at the sugar falling out of the sky.
You think you'll ever get out of here?
One day, when I got a long white beard and two or three marbles rolling around upstairs, they let me out.
The Second String Podcast and Now Radio Show on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
Adam, were you ever an American Idol watcher back in your prime?
Back in the day when it was relevant enough that we would talk about it almost every day, yes.
And by the way, I'm not suggesting you're not still in your prime.
Thanks, by the way. That kind of flew over my head.
Yeah, I didn't mean that at all. Daniel, how do you say his name? Is it Pewter?
Powder?
Daniel Powder. Bad day. Look, I was having a good Memorial Day weekend. Everything was good. The weather was fine. The food was good, which more on that in a few minutes, by the way. And then Ronald Acuna Jr. goes and tears his ACL, man. What's up with that?
Man, knee buckled. It was just kind of a routine. Let's go back to second. Wasn't sure what to do. And I think that's going to be a very descriptive song of the entire Braves season.
So what it's feeling like, man, outside of just like elite pitching from everybody right now, we're not getting squat. Marcell Ozuna is fine. Okay, he's been playing well, but everybody else stinks.
Wouldn't you know it, the year we get elite pitching, even in the bullpen, we can't hit.
I'm telling you, we have a line. That's what everybody keeps saying is, oh, just wait, the lineup will click. But there's also a saying in baseball that you don't panic, you don't overreact about anything until after Memorial Day. Well, guess what? Memorial Day's in the rearview mirror, man, so I am going to start panicking and acting like some of these Braves hitting woes are just going to be the norm this year. I don't know how to fix it, Adam. I have no idea.
Look, you got to understand that Alex Anthopoulos is on the phone, but there's nothing to give. Even if he wanted to go get somebody, who are you going to give up? You don't want to give up any of your stars because that's who you're built your team around. There's nothing in AAA. Nobody's going to want prospects. Mm-mm. So what do you give up? You can't give a pitcher up either.
I don't think you do, and that's the thing. Like, your top five prospects are all right-handed pitchers. Maybe you part ways with one of them, but, I mean, I don't see it. That's why you signed Jared Kelnick. That's why you signed Adam Duvall before the season started, in case one of them had to become an everyday player. But just, you know, back to Acuna, it stinks, man. It really, really, really stinks what happened. Like you said, just a freak injury. It wasn't anybody's fault, man, but his knee just gave way. And lo and behold, a few hours later, we find out that now he's not just out for a little time. He's out for a really, really, really long time. Let me explain, man. You may see him playing in 2025, okay? You probably will around the All-Star break next year. A year or so is what it typically now takes to get back on the field, and you need him back ASAP. But I'm not naive to realize that we're not going to see the real Acuna until 2026, okay? 2022 for Ronald, coming back from that ACL, he played, sure, I saw him play, but he wasn't himself. You did not see the real Acuna until 23. And that was the 42 homer, 73 stolen base version that we need back again. But it's going to be a long, long time, Adam.
I think, Logan, that we've kind of need to come to the realization that the Braves although a very good team, are not going to be the Braves that we want them to be.
Unless it does click. I'm just tired of like holding my breath to see if it clicks. And again, I know that we're complaining. I'm complaining about a team that's currently 9 games over 500 at the time of recording. There's a lot of ball clubs out there that would love to be complaining about their team at 9 games over 500.
Ask the Chicago White Sox. Ask the Athletics.
There's many teams. But it is frustrating to an extent. Now, I'm not trying to be a spoiled brat. We won the World Series a few years ago. I know a lot of people have pointed out that, hey, the last time Acuna tore his knee up, we went and won the World Series. Like,
it's coincidence.
Doesn't really just make me bubble with excitement. I'm sorry if that's not the approach I'm taking. So I'm down, Adam. I'm down.
You need your superstar to be on the field in order to win. I mean, that was a coincidence that happened in a perfect storm. Everything he was able to get Eddie Rosario and Jorge Soler. We're talking about Alex Anthopoulos. Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry. This year, Logan, if the lineup doesn't start hitting, there is no amount of pitching that is going to be able to go down the stretch and win this because they just can't hit. They just can't do it.
And even those guys you mentioned, the Jorge Soler, Jock Peterson, Eddie Rosario, those were all fantastic gets for the Braves back in 2021. But even they were a stroke of luck.
Right.
No one thought those three guys would become, you know, legends in their own sense. I mean, Jock Peterson with his pearls and the whole rallying. You had Eddie Rosario that single-handedly beat the Dodgers with 13 hits in the NLCS. Then you had Jorge Soler obviously hitting the ball up on the moon. You know, every once in a while at night, if the air is just right on a summer night, you look up at the moon, you can actually see where Jorge's ball hit the moon on that night
when he
hit the ball in game six.
It's the big crater. It's the big crater.
It's the big one, exactly. But the light has to be just right.
Well, the light's going to be right if you want to look on the 6th, I believe. Mm-hmm. That's coming up this week for the Northern Lights coming back. So
are they? What's the deal with that? Are they coming back?
They're coming back. It's a completely rare event that it would happen at any time you could see them in Georgia. You get two different time periods.
Tell me more, because I saw like a headline, but I didn't read the article. So
what's going to happen is pretty much the same thing that happened a couple of weeks ago. You're going to be able to see it. Now, listen, the pics that people are posting, that enhances them. They're not using a filter. It just is the phone quality. But this is a better time to actually see it with the naked eye than the last time.
Well, that's what I like to hear. I was out in Lincoln County where my lake house is, and we're in the deep woods, man. I was able to see, like, we saw with our naked eye some pretty cool stuff. But to your point, yes, the phone made it look 10 times, 100 times better than what we saw. Where we were so isolated out in the middle of the woods up on the water with no light pollution around us at all. We actually saw, like, these white, like, every once in a while, it looked like a spotlight was coming out of part of the sky. Hmm. And it would dance around a little bit, just kind of wave, then kind of fade away. And there was this red aura that you could absolutely see the entire time we were out there. But the phones enhanced the greens and the waves and the stars and all that stuff. But yeah, if it's coming back and I got to read more about this, I will go back to my lake and watch it again.
June 6th, that was awesome. That June 6th through the 8th time period is where to go. I mean,
that's a weekend, right?
Yeah, Metro Atlanta ain't going to see much with the light pollution unless you're really lucky.
June 6th is a Thursday, the 7th a Friday, the 8th a Saturday. Man, I'm all about it.
Yeah, you could do
all
it.
All about it. Save all that money. No Northern Lights, Sweden, Norway cruise ships.
No.
My in-laws did that earlier this spring.
How did that work out?
They loved it, man. They saw the Northern Lights, but even they say what they saw there on Lake Oconee a few weeks ago, they said that may have even been better than what they saw up in the great whatever. What do you call that area? Nordic?
The Nordic. The Nordic Norway, area. Sweden.
It's just different.
Word to the wise. Don't be spending all that money.
No, man. Go to Alaska instead, which I'm doing later this month or later
that's,
in June.
Hey, we got to talk about that, man.
Can't wait. I have no idea what I'm getting into. We're just taking a long boat ride from Vancouver up into Alaska. Then we're doing like a 3-day train ride up into Denali. So we may get thin on the second string content later on.
I was going to say, listen, I mean, don't get lost.
No, I'm saying, longtime listeners of the show, this may be news to you, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a vision. I got a dream of how I'm going to leave this earth. And it comes at the hands of a grizzly bear. And I'm at peace with that.
You're going to the place where they live.
I've accepted how it's going to happen. Yeah, I've actually never been in brown bear territory. Never. They're very specific. Like, I've been hiking all through Utah and Colorado. There are no grizzly bears in Utah or Colorado. You got to get up into like Yellowstone, which is what, southern South Dakota? Am I saying that right? Wyoming.
Wyoming is south. Yeah, that's Yellowstone.
That's about as far south as you're going to see a brown bear, and they're there. But yes, I told Walker for years, I told the cheeseheads, like, one day a grizzly bear is going to off me, but here's the way you know which grizzly bear did it. Look for the one limping with one eye, because I'm getting my shots in.
So you're not going to go down without
There's going to be a fight.
Eye gouging.
I will not win the fight, but the bear will definitely take a hit or two.
When did you decide this is the way you're going
to
leave?
It just came to me in a vision. I was high on acid one night. No, I'm kidding. I was not, by the way. But
That's another story.
I've never done that. Okay. But no, I saw it in the smoke of a campfire. It just came to me, and I said, this is my fate, and I've accepted it. So anyway, I'm sorry to get off the rails, man.
You're trying to tell me something, that you're not coming back after the Alaska trip.
I'm just trying to avoid talking about the Braves. That's what I'm trying.
Well, listen, there is other good things to talk about, and it's baseball, and it's this weekend in Athens. And I have a good friend who works in hospitality, driving around players and stuff like that. Drove the entire West Point Army team, said they were fine young gentlemen, UGA better watch out. And listen, UGA has a great path to the College World Series if they can get past Georgia Tech, which they should be able to.
You would think. I mean, look, we beat them twice. Here's the deal with the Georgia Tech baseball series, all right? So we play them every year. We did the last few years, we've done what's a wraparound series. In other words, we played a game in Atlanta at their place, a game in Athens, and then the other game over at your place, at the Land of the Stripers. This year, the Friday game was at Tech. So we went to Atlanta on Friday. That alters between Atlanta and Athens on a Friday, and then you play the rest of the weekend. But what was so bad about this one, I'm sure you remember this, it rained like crazy all day. It was a terrible, terrible weather day Friday. We play the game. They start the game under some rainy conditions. It's kind of more of a heavy drizzle, enough to play baseball, but it was just a gross, cold, nasty night. Georgia starts kicking Tech's ass. All right, we're hitting homers left and right. I want to say the score was 9-2. In the fifth inning, we needed one more half inning to make the game official. The weather did not change. And all of a sudden, Tech's like, yeah, we don't know if we want to take the field. The weather's just, yeah, you know, it's just not so good right now. And the ACC officials bowed down to him and said, yeah, you guys are right. We shouldn't finish this game. So they call a delay, and 30 minutes later, they're like, yeah, you know, just scrap the game. Everybody go home. It was total BS. Total petty.
I would have protested if I was Georgia on that.
You can't. I mean, the problem is there's nothing you can do about it. I've got reports of certain individuals of high power in the Georgia program throwing drinks against the wall when they figured out what was happening, and the game literally got nixed. We have two players that hit homers that game that will never be in the record book as hitting homers. We should have had that win. Now, the good news is the next day you beat them 3-1 in Athens. The following day on Sunday, you came back and scored, I want to say, like 6 runs in the ninth and beat those you-know-what holes 9-7, I think the final score was, over at Stripers Field. So you got the last laugh. You beat them twice, but it's still just Bush League what they did, and it's a petty rivalry. It's what makes college sports so awesome. But you were on the receiving end of some total BS then. I would love to thank Adam. That if we play Tech, there's no guarantee we play Tech, by the way, this weekend. But if we do, we'll stick it to them.
I think that fire is in them that they want Tech. They're gonna boat race.
And I think they want us.
Yeah.
I think the rivalry is great. So yeah, like you said, 1 o'clock Friday. If you're listening to this afterwards or Saturday, the game's already been played. 1 o'clock Friday, Georgia Army gonna start things off. Later on Friday night, Tech is gonna play UNC Wilmington, double elimination. With God willing, we'll beat Army. UNC Wilmington will beat Tech, and then Army will beat Tech, and they got to go home. But if we wind up playing Tech, who they're the 3 seed, by the way. They're not number 2. They're the 3 seed in this region. The number 2 seed is actually UNC Wilmington. They're a very good team. We'll see how it shakes out. But I'm with you, man. I want to play them, and I want to beat them by 50. I want to beat them by 40, 45 runs and add 5 more just for good measure at the end of it.
So another Georgia baseball question, because Charlie Condon obviously going to be the number one pick. Mm-hmm. Do we know who's got the number one pick? Is it Cleveland?
Yeah, Cleveland, so then Cincinnati after that, the Ohio's.
He's going to go to Ohio somewhere, probably, yeah.
Especially when they have
well, I mean, listen, he'll be a big lift if he goes to the Guardians. My goodness. I mean, that's prime territory for him going to a good team.
Yeah.
And if you go to the Reds, you still got a great baseball town. So,
by the way, speaking of Georgia, Georgia Tech, I'm literally reacting for the first time on seeing something that is kind of surprising, but I don't know if I like it or hate it. DogNation.com reporting right now, Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports. And let me tell you something about college football reporting. If Ross Dellinger reports it, he knows what he's doing.
Okay.
Right? He's one of those guys that if he reports something, believe it.
Okay.
He is reporting that Georgia and Georgia Tech will play their annual football game this year on Black Friday. Not the Saturday
That's
after Thanksgiving,
right.
but Friday, November 29th, which I believe, if I'm saying this right, it has been done before. I know they've played the game on Thanksgiving like decades ago. Like so far in the rearview mirror, they were wearing like mesh belly pads and big, big shoulder pads. You know what I'm saying? Like that era.
Yeah, yeah. That was the
late 80s, early 90s. I want to say they've done that before, but this would be a major change. But I'm not sure if I like it or not.
Why? Do they say why? Is the viewership, I mean,
it all has to do with how can you get more eyes on TV now.
Yeah, but how much more eyes are you going to get on Black Friday than you are on that Saturday?
Probably a lot more. With Georgia, Georgia Tech being like a game that really only Georgia and Georgia Tech fans care about, the nation doesn't care about Georgia, Georgia Tech. They used to when it meant something, but they haven't done their part. The note, it would be in prime time and air on ABC. Which means that while he's not reporting a kickoff time, that basically says it'd be a night game in Athens on Friday. Man, I'm kind of for this.
In late November?
It nixes tradition of the Saturday after Thanksgiving. That's a term I use a lot, Saturday after Thanksgiving. I love that day for rivalry football. It also is a risk in a sense that that is my favorite Saturday of the year. Now, you beat Tech, which you should, by the way. You enjoy the rest of the weekend. But in a godforsaken universe, a parallel universe, Adam, where Tech beats you, I'm not enjoying the rest of that
weekend. I'm not going to that universe, and I don't see that happening. No, I don't see that happening
this year. I
don't
either, even though they gave us a little bit of a frustrating game last year. They're not Georgia. Let's just flat out say it. They are not Georgia.
No.
I got to pause. I got to kind of react to this. I my initial reaction is cool. When it marinates for 24 hours and I go back on my sports show tomorrow morning, I may have a differing opinion. I don't know how I'm reacting to this. But that's the report from Ross Dellinger right now. I think it's interesting to say
that's very interesting. But you know what? Now that I think about it, all the other eyes are on all the other rivalry games. So if you're isolated to one or two games on that Black Friday, go for it.
Especially if Georgia's like still number one or a top 10 team and maybe Tech's a little better than we think this year. I think they're in a better direction, I'll admit that, than they've been the last, you know, probably 8-10 years.
Well, they've got to be,
But that
Logan.
Doesn't mean they're going to be a top 15 team this year. We'll see. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and keep unpacking that and other things. It's the Second String Podcast right here on WGAU.
You're listening to The Second String on 98.7 FM and AM 1340, WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
Derby's mine and his junkyard dogs! Derby's junkyard dogs!
Kirby's junkyard dogs! Thanks to our man Asparagus William, good listener over on The Morning Show at 960 The Ref. He literally went and tracked down a couple years ago, the James Brown estate, and got the rights to the Dooley's Junkyard Dogs and did the sequel, Kirby's Junkyard Dogs.
He nailed it.
He went and did the thing, man. And he gave us full rights to this song to do whatever the heck we want with, and that is just awesome.
We're little. We'll
you would think if you closed your eyes, you didn't know what you were in. You would think that was James Brown.
I can definitely hear it. All right, so we got a few minutes more. We'll keep talking about this potential. It's not official at the time of recording, but it sounds like it's going to be. And I was thinking more about Georgia Tech football moving to Black Friday. That is going to be November 29th coming up in Sanford Stadium. And also with the caveat, this is reported by Ross Dellinger, that it would be prime time on that day, which basically means that implies a 7:30 kickoff between the hedges. I was telling you, Adam, during the little break here, Georgia has not played Tech between the hedges on a non-noon kickoff since 2010, and that was a night game. 2010 was not a great year for Georgia. Georgia had to beat Tech that night just to make a bowl game. That's how far we've come in the last, you know, handful of years, that past decade or so. But every single game, 2012, 14, 16, 18, 20, 22, or no 20 game. There was no game in 20.
Yeah.
Every even year since then has been a noon kickoff. And let me tell you, the atmospheres for these games in Sanford have sucked. It's not Georgia's fault completely. Tech has not done its end of the bargain. There have been a couple, you know, matchups where Tech was a little bit better. And look, Tech beat you in 2016 and 14, two of those games in a noon atmosphere, partially because of what a crappy atmosphere it was. I think some Georgia fans, not all, not me, are kind of tired of this game. I love it personally, and I kind of lose that battle sometimes when it comes to this. But
well, they're tired of it, Logan, because, and I'm tired of it too, some years, because Tech just comes out. Now, last year was an anomaly, but Tech comes out and is flat, lays an egg. Georgia dominates. It's like, all right, we're checked out after halftime. And when you're a Georgia fan and you're looking ahead and you see Georgia just steamroll Tech, all right, next is the SEC championship game. Yep. Well, what are you supposed to do? And it's a new. That's the other thing. It's a noon kickoff on Black Friday. Listen, people are still doing their shopping, whether it's online or out. They're not paying attention. The more and more you tell me this story, the more and more I'm thinking, okay, let's do Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Black Friday is perfect on a night when you can just have at it, because there's 42 other games scheduled on November 30th right now. I counted them, 42 other games.
Nice. Florida State did this a few years ago, like 2 years back, and this is not when Florida State was good like the most recent season. I think 2 years ago they played on Black Friday night, and it was actually really entertaining to watch. It's two teams and fan bases that hate each other. Whether you have a dog in the fight or not, it's rivalry football. That's one reason I love Thanksgiving week and weekend, is all of a sudden, yes, a lot of games are going to be like Ohio State and Michigan, a lot of times highly ranked teams. For many years, you'll see Auburn-Alabama as playoff implications. Auburn not so much lately, but those games matter a lot. But rivalry football is special. And I'll add to that, in an era where everything is changing and so many traditions are going away and conferences are being realigned, there are some things I don't mind clinging to emotionally. And rivalry football in-state, whether you're good or not, the fact that you just hate each other, I love that. That's what, like, college sports is sort of based on, is hating your rivals.
Yeah.
And so let's hold on to this.
In a non-SEC game, and you have rivals in-state, I think Georgia Tech may be one of the few in-state games in college football. When you look at some of the other ones, NC State, North Carolina for football. Virginia Tech. Florida State, Florida, I can see that. Or Florida State, Miami, whatever comes up. But I'm telling you, Georgia Tech, like Logan said, is the one, the marquee state game rivalry that's not in the same conference. I know Auburn and Alabama are SEC, so that's an in-state SEC game. And Kentucky, Tennessee, same thing. So I look at this, you got to cling to something, because at some point, people are going to say, well, we don't need this game anymore.
There's a lot of Georgia fans that actually feel that way, and I disagree with you vehemently. It's just I'm done, like, defending my stance. Basically, I just like tradition. I don't have to quantify it with numbers. I don't need to quantify it with monetary incentives. Sometimes I just like to say I like things the way they are because I like them the way they are. Kind of like Georgia and Jacksonville playing Florida down there. I never want that game to move. I don't see it as an advantage to anybody. Georgia owns a winning record down there. It doesn't give Florida some massive, you know, oh, we only have to travel this far. Well, we fly there, they bus. Put me on a plane any given day. They get there in no time. It's a comfortable travel arrangement. Anyway, I'm getting off the rails. Looks like this is happening, and while not officially official, I kind of like it.
And more eyes are going to be on them, Logan. If you have 42 games on a Saturday, you have one or two on a Friday, take it.
We don't have to tell Georgia fans to watch. They will, but maybe some other members of the nation will as well. All right, keep the football conversation going. We got to hit a break. Halftime adjustments. We'll be back with more on the Second String podcast on WGAU.
Now back to the Second String on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
Hot barbecue today!
know a ton about Jack McDuff. In fact, brother Jack McDuff. But the song Hot Barbecue is a hot song, and he's eating a rack of ribs on the album cover.
What's his name again?
It says Brother Jack McDuff.
Jack McDuff.
But then it might just be Jack McDuff, but the album cover definitely says Brother Jack McDuff.
Anything that you can play from the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
This he started in Minneapolis, known for its barbecue, by the way. And
it is now.
Can I tell you something about Minneapolis, just not to get off topic? They have a thing called the Juicy Lucy.
Ooh.
And I've experienced it. It's at
a
neighborhood bar in a neighborhood named Matt's. And Juicy Lucy is where they infuse the actual cheese inside of the burger. It's a special blend of cheese. And this thing is thick, Logan. You would be proud of this burger. And you can only get them there, and they do something with the sauce. You stick it on the bun. You don't need cheese or sauce because it's already in there. It's called a Juicy Lucy.
Is that what started the Hot Pocket, maybe?
I might have back in the day.
Holy mackerel.
But back to Jack McDuff from Minneapolis. I mean, you give me anything like that, I feel good. I feel like I want to go to a summer barbecue.
Yeah, it was good. Hopefully you had a good Memorial Day weekend. I know it's a somber holiday, but we make it festive because of, like we said last week, you know, land of the free because of the brave, all that stuff. But yeah, I was out at the lake, and I cooked for a lot of people, and it came out really, really, really good. I'm getting good at this, Adam. I'm not going to lie.
Listen.
I'm going to pat my back for a second.
You're getting too good to the point that every time you go to the lake and all your people are there, hey, what are you cooking, Logan? So the pressure's on every single time up at your lake house.
I did a big Sunday gathering just in, like, my corner of the neighborhood. So we had probably five different houses and all their friends. Probably, if I had to estimate, there were probably 50 to 55 people.
It's a lot,
like that.
Yeah.
It is a lot of people. I cooked two Boston butts, which that at this point, those are easy. It's hard to mess up a butt, but I tried ribs in a new way I've never done before. Just bear with me here on some barbecue talk for a second.
I'm down.
Are you ready? All right,
yep.
Take notes if you're listening at home, and do what I do if you have access to a smoker. I bought from a place up the store, Costco. I bought from Costco a three-pack of St. Louis-style spare ribs, all right? So three good-looking racks of ribs. Cost me about $40 for all three. That's a good deal, by the way.
Check.
Very good deal. So three racks of ribs, a lot of ribs for $40. Here's what I did, Adam. All right. Get into my office up in the kitchen of the lake, all right?
Yeah.
I pull one rack of ribs out, one after the other. Here's what I do to each one of them, okay? Take your notes. Flip it over on the back of the ribs. There's a silver skin, which is like a little membrane. It's like a little layer.
It doesn't get
sawed off. A lot of cooks will peel that off, and it's hard to do. But if you take a paper towel in your hands and kind of put a slit in the silver skin, and then just rip it. Just pull it off, man. Rip that bad boy off. That opens up a layer for spices to get deeper into the rib, okay? It's basically taking off like a force field. Like, you can still cook it with the silver skin. That's fine. But you're going to get more flavor if you can get it off.
So you got the membrane off now.
Yes, membrane is off. And it's still a full rack of ribs. I haven't done anything to the ribs yet. Lather that bad boy up in yellow mustard, which, by the way, I don't like yellow mustard, but this cooks in. So if you're out there and you're afraid of yellow mustard like I am, I promise you, you're not making mustard ribs, okay? Just bear with me. So get it lathered up in a thin layer of yellow mustard. That acts as a binder. Then, Adam, you get your favorite barbecue rub. I am very, very biased toward O-Dogs. That is my dentist's nephew in Perry, Georgia. Makes his own rubs, does a lot of barbecue. He has given me this O-Dogs barbecue rub. It is delicious. I love it. It is fantastic.
Okay.
Pour a generous layer of the dry rub on top of all that mustard and kind of pat it in a little bit. But cover the whole thing. Every corner of those ribs needs to be covered in this rub. Both sides, by the way. Now that we got it covered, Adam, get yourself a sharp knife, all right?
Okay.
Remember, these are thick ribs. Spare ribs are thick. They're meaty. All right, flip it over where you can see all the bones out there on the bone side and start taking that sharp knife. You're going to cut each individual rib into a solo rib off the rack. So let's say a rack has probably 16, 17 ribs on it. I'm going to use that knife and cut them all off into individual ribs, all right?
You have a lot of patience doing this.
It's a little time-consuming. Yeah. It took me about an hour or maybe 30 minutes of full prep to get all three racks done. Take them and just stick them in a bowl. Get them ready because we're firing the grill up. All right, you're going to do that with all three racks of ribs. Get them all ready. Set your pellet smoker, your smoker, whatever you have, to 350 degrees, and just set them right on the grill. Close that door, Adam. You're not going to touch that door for an hour 20, maybe an hour 30. You're going to open that thing back up. You're going to look at it. When the meat starts to pull away from the bone, in other words, the bone at the end of the rib is going to start revealing more and more of itself. When you got about a half an inch or even a little bit less of bone revealed, we're going to pull them off the grill, all right? We're going to take them back inside. You're getting your tin pans, all right? You know, tin cooking pans.
Right, right.
You're going to pile them in. I used two of them, by the way, because there was a lot of ribs. I piled them into two pans and just let them sit there for a minute while I got a barbecue sauce, which I tried an experimental sauce. There's no right or wrong way. My wife picked up, it was called Rib Rack Barbecue Sauce Bourbon Flavor.
Where is she getting this at?
At Publix, I believe. Okay. Just got it at Publix. It's there's no wrong way. Get what you like. That's the key here. But I do suggest the thicker barbecue sauce, the better when we're dealing with ribs. All right. We don't want to put like a runny vinegar sauce on a rib. All right. I put about half the bottle in one of the tin pans, the other half in the other. I went and got that brown sugar out of the fridge. I gave a generous little sprinkling of brown sugar all inside both pans. And I probably went a little heavier than I should have, but it didn't matter, man. I put two full sticks of butter in each pan. I didn't cut up the butter at all. I literally just set it on top of the pile of ribs.
So this, we're not worried about health.
No, this is not for people on a diet.
All right.
Once that's in there and everything's concocted, just give it a little bit of a shake. Let that sugar and the barbecue sauce kind of get... what am I trying to say? Get incorporated.
Right.
I'm not trying to finish the product right now. Set the butter on top. Cover it airtight. That's key. You got to cover it airtight with tinfoil. Be careful not to rip it. Use the thick stuff if you got it, but you want to create an airtight tin pan with all of your ribs and all of your stuff in the middle. Seal it. Now, while you do that, we're dropping the smoker from 350 down to 220. That's a pretty significant drop. So we're just going to steam this. We want to get them hot. We're no longer cooking the ribs. The ribs are pretty much cooked at this point. But for about 2 hours, this is the key. It's going to be a while. For about 2 hours, you can even go a little less. You just want to put those on at 220. Let them just do their thing, man. That steam that it creates inside that airtight pan of all those sauces, the butters, the sugar, Lord have mercy, Adam. When you open that thing up, when you're ready to eat, you will be writing me Christmas cards afterwards.
Drink that. Oh, my goodness.
You will be sending me Christmas cards. There's another step if you want to. I didn't do this, but if you want to take, because it's pretty liquidy once you open it up. They're swimming. They're swimming in a very liquid concoction, and it is delicious. You could take the ribs themselves and put them back on the grill without the pan. Crank it back up to like 350 for like 10, 15 minutes. That would caramelize all that stuff that's on the rib and make it that like real caramel. But you don't have to do that. We ate them without doing it, and I got compliments like I've never gotten anything else.
I was
going
to say, you don't need to do that next step. Everybody wants to eat by that time. I don't think it can wait. Now, this is interesting. I've known you now for 9-10 months, and following your journey of cooking, it seems like you're progressing more and more. You're getting more intricate things and more process of things. Is this something that Logan may open one day, a lakeside barbecue joint?
I'll tell you what, Adam, when the Cox Media Group Athens shuts its doors forever, which, by the way, it never will.
No, but
this is a joke.
I'll come work for you on that, man.
Well, we're going to have to buy bigger smokers.
Yeah.
You have to buy a little land area, like maybe a food truck. What about a food truck?
A food truck's doable.
You can move around.
Let me tell you about a food truck. We have those in Cherokee County, and they'll pull up to the corner of an intersection, and it'll be, you know, busy cars, whatever. People will park, get out of their cars, cross a busy road just to hit that food truck. Uncle C's is where I go. It's just a food truck, and that's for barbecue. That's a great idea.
I feel like if you were not good at cooking, you wouldn't go to the extremes to start a food truck. So when you see a food truck, you know they mean business. Like, they're probably good at their craft. They're good at what they do. They've got something going on. I'm with you, man. If I see a food truck, I'm eating at the food truck if I'm not 100%. Don't already have plans.
You know, the only
I can see a rib truck.
The only food trucks I don't eat at are the gyros and things like that. That's the one thing I can't do. If you give me smoked meat, if you give me Mexican, anything like that, man, I'm all over.
Darn right. So anyway, that was a long, lengthy, detailed description of how you make what I consider, they call them party style. That's when you cut them into individual ribs. That's what's called party style, as opposed to just cooking a rack of ribs. But I've been meaning to do it for a while, and Adam, I may never cook a solid rack of ribs again. That's how good these came out.
It sounds amazing.
And they're easy to eat.
You have a lot of friends now. Let me tell you something. You have a lot of friends out at that lake house.
Russ Tanner, the center for the Georgia football team back from 02 to 05. On Fridays in the fall, he comes in studio every Friday before a Georgia football weekend, and we have him for an hour. He's a great storyteller. He's also a big cooker. And I started like really getting into cooking meats at the beginning of this year. Mm-hmm. I did it off and on, but like now I'm really into it.
Right.
I can't wait to get him back in the fall. I'm going to blow his mind with how much I've learned.
Well, you've got to take pictures of what you got and show him this. I mean, I'd like to see visual evidence.
Did you not see the ribs? I thought I put them
you
on
didn't,
somewhere.
I didn't see them. Maybe you might have. All I'm seeing is your new dog. That's all I see.
I'm a little obsessed with my Ringo dog.
Yeah,
right now.
But I don't see the.
I probably need to stop sharing pictures of Ringo. What do you think?
No, you can't do that. Even though he eats your Georgia
Ringo's got to go.
You got to give him some of that barbecue.
All right, here
so
we
he
go. Here
Georgia
we go, Adam.
Hat.
I'm going to give this to you. There's the two butts we cooked.
Okay.
That's the way that if you swipe right, I believe, you'll see the ribs swimming in that pan, man. Zoom on in.
Oh, there it is.
Zoom on into those.
Oh, they're huge.
You can go back even further and see them before that.
Look at that sauce, too. Now, I mean, this sauce looks good. That, like I was talking about drinking. Mm. Oh, there's the spread.
Yeah, man.
Well, you guys
is that the backyard, the grass?
You got the spread.
Yeah, we got the spread. We got neighbors cooking side dishes.
Oh
man.
My goodness!
This is literally just Americana.
What in the listen?
There is no program.
Cheeseheads, if you ever find out the location of this, this is like gold because that is a spread that you'll never see at a Georgia game. That is top notch.
We got crock pots full of like chicken casserole. We got baked beans infused with bacon. We had like these cheesy something, lima beans, pasta salad.
I'm not over exaggerating. I see the pictures.
This is literally just, you know, neighbors being neighborly.
Wow.
That's how good we are out of the lake, man.
That
That's
is
awesome.
America right
there's,
there.
There's the ribs with the butter in them before we steamed
this.
Them.
Okay, so you got the sticks of butter on it, the full sticks of butter on top of the ribs, and you're just steaming that out.
That's before we put them back on the grill to let them do their magic. There they are on the grill individually before we even do that. I'm telling you. This could just be a barbecue show, Adam.
I'm telling you.
We don't need
Logan,
to talk
at some point,
morning.
This is going to morph into Logan's barbecue joint in Lincoln County. We do the show from there, and that's it.
Mm-mm-mm.
That's it.
I'm good with it. If you weren't listening earlier, maybe you're tuning in late. Maybe you ignore the news. It sounds like Georgia Tech's gonna be on Friday, and the more I think about it, the more I'm good with this. We've already outlined it all. I don't want to rehash everything, but like I think a Friday night primetime game in Athens, beat up on little bro, steal their dignity and don't send them back to Atlanta with it. Make them leave without it, man. I'm all for that life.
Their dignity lives in Athens, you know, another year. And that's what you got to do. And I'm fall forward, too. Listen, you got too many games on a Saturday. Let Georgia be the center of the national attention outside of any playoff
curious. In fact, I wonder if any other games have announced that they are going to do Black Friday. There's always a handful. Like, in fact, I want to say Missouri and Arkansas have played on Black Friday every year for a decade now since they've joined the conference. Now, the Egg Bowl, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Mississippi
State.
That's
one, yeah.
That's always on Thanksgiving night now, which
right.
I love. That is for someone that doesn't care about either team, that's gold, man. That is absolute gold to be able to see.
It's a nice change because you got NFL all day and even at night now, and you flip over and you hear the bells ringing if you're at Starkville.
I'm trying to see if anybody else. So there is.
I haven't seen anybody.
I got Temple and UTSA, San Antonio.
I'll pass on that.
I've also got, looks like, but is that even Black Friday? No, that's the 22nd. I'm saying this completely wrong. Let me scroll down. Sorry, I'm almost there.
The 30th is a Saturday, the 29th is a Friday, and the 28th is Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, I don't have any Black Friday games that I know of so far. We'll get there. There'll be a dozen. It's not just going to be Georgia Tech, but if they're going to be on ABC on prime time.
Oh, here's your Black Friday.
Kickoff.
You want a Black Friday?
Yeah,
I got
the whole schedule. Anything
we got Oklahoma State and Colorado.
Okay.
Which, who knows? Who knows?
That's a conference game now.
Yeah.
Colorado joining the Big 12.
Iowa, Nebraska, Bowling Green, Miami of Ohio, Ohio Ball State, the MAC, Texas State, South Alabama. Those are your 29th. So, listen, you put Georgia on that day, Logan, clearly that is going to be the class of your games.
What did you say? What was that Alabama one?
South Alabama and so Texas State.
Those are South Alabama. I got you. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, let's do it, man. I'm all for this. I'm very much for this. We're now 93 days at recording. We've already done 100 days minus a week. And I'm a big summer guy. Like, I love the lake. I love everything about summertime except for that oppressive, offensive heat at the end of summer. We're so far so good. It's been a nice week in Athens.
You can take July and August and do something with it. Because give me all of June, and then let's go into football.
If you rank the months 1 through 12... I've always been adamant that October is, for me, number one. Numero uno.
Without question.
No questions about it. April's a very close second. I think April's great for Masters. And not just sports, but weather. I mean, springtime, all that stuff. October, back to the number one. You've got the fall weather to go along with football and everything that comes along with that. But August is dead last.
100%.
I've got no love for August at all. I mean, other than the anticipation of you're almost to football, and that is fun to like start to feel that like kid at Christmas buzz. But as far as the happenings, as far as like kids are going back to school, they hate that. Doesn't bother me. Your kids probably hate August for that reason.
Why Georgia decides to send their kids back August 1st?
Is it August 1st?
It's all, and this is the
they've probably been back in July.
This is the only state that I know that's I have talked to friends, even when I worked in Texas and Dallas. They're like, why do you go back to school August 1st? It's the hottest month of the year.
What happened to Memorial Day to Labor Day.
Labor Day, that's what you do. No, I agree. You know, my close second for hating months is January. I don't like January. It's dreary. It's dark. Other than you have playoff football,
Playoff football, like I again, biased here, but the fact that Georgia has won two national championships in January recently, I got a better love for January as a result.
And piggybacking off that, February I don't like either.
I think February is one of the worst.
You can have it.
It's the weather's bad. College baseball starts, which that's like the worst part of the season. I'm over winter by late February. I'm not a big fan of February at all. But October. Let's bring on October, which is a long, long, long way from now.
You still going to be cooking then in October? In August? I mean, when it's oppressively hot.
I'm gonna bring you and Haley some ribs here one morning.
Oh, man. That's what I need.
The biggest problem with this building is how do I warm them up for you? Our microwave's terrible.
We need another microwave.
We need to, like, bring a crock pot.
It's almost like you got to put a crock. Do we have a stove? We don't have a stove here, do we?
I was thinking, I would even get up early and put them on a low heat, cover them in
tin foil and stick them outside in the transformer, see if that's warm.
Nothing wrong with that. Adam, let's hit a break. We'll come back and wrap up this here edition of the Second String Podcast. A few more minutes to go. Just hanging out, having a good old time right here on the Second String on WGAU.
Now back to the Second String on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
Here's another positive to summer. All our favorite bands are back on tour right now. Which doesn't mean you're all going to see them, but some of the best money I ever spent, I subscribed to Nugs.net, N-U-G-S.net, and it has brought so much joy to my life in the sense that I can follow some of my favorite jam bands, and they will upload every single one of their shows within a day of it, like, happening. And a lot of times you can tap into them live on, like, a Saturday
night. I'm looking at this right now.
At Nugs, is that what you're looking at?
Yeah, so far they've just uploaded My Morning Jacket, Bruce Springsteen, Pearl Jam, Live.
There's a lot of old stuff that they'll upload that wasn't even like recent. But
here,
like,
you go, Widespread Panic.
Yeah, I follow Widespread Panic on there. I get all their new shows. I follow like my favorite bands, like the Pigeons playing ping pong. You're listening to right now. Love me some Goose, Spafford, Underground Springhouse, Lotus. All these guys upload their their shows like very shortly after doing it, and it's just like a nonstop here. Here's more shows we did. Now, hey, why would I listen to the same song over and over and over? The beautiful thing about jam bands in particular is every time they perform a song, it's different.
Yeah.
Every time.
Changes.
That's what's so great about it. I'll sit on my back porch and just get in the zone, man.
And they always do these live streams. So here's one coming. Pigeons playing ping pong.
Darn right. Yeah, that's doing it. They're touring with Andy Frasco.
Yeah.
And Dogs in a Pile, which are all like really, really cool jam bands. They're doing a live show that you're talking about.
Yeah, June 1st in Columbus. Yeah.
And I think they're doing like two more in the next week or so. That's so I can literally sit on my back porch this coming Saturday and hit the live stream, sit back and relax as if I'm at the show. How cool is that?
You can't beat that, man.
I'm telling you, man.
Why go there when they could come to you?
Because they're really awesome in person.
That's true. nothing beats going to a live show,
I think,
though.
August 22nd, if I'm saying that right, they'll be at the Georgia Theater in Athens, the Pigeons, and I've already got my ticket for
you
that.
You know, some of the best live shows are in the smallest venues. If you guys are familiar with Center Stage in Atlanta, that venue, that whole vinyl, and everything, that is the perfect place, the perfect sound.
Love it.
Love it.
Absolutely love it. So the Braves, we'll either snap into it or we won't. I don't know. I don't know what to say, man.
Well, you know, you can keep calling up these pitchers. Spencer Schwellenbach just got called up. But it's not going to matter because you got to hit. There's no one to get, and there's no one to give.
I know.
What are you going to give? There's nothing.
That's what's so frustrating is we have a pitching staff that has kept us 9 games above 500, but the bats are not doing their part. And I don't know when it's going to click, if it's going to click, whatever. But I love my Braves, win or lose. They could lose every game for the next 2 years, and I'll still be watching the next game when they get back on TV. It's just what you do. It's what I do, for real. I don't see much Jeopardy during baseball season.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people are watching Jeopardy right now.
A lot of people watch Jeopardy.
I don't even know who is Ken Jennings still the host?
He is. He's now the permanent host. I think he does a fine job.
I don't, man, I got to be honest. I don't watch it. That and Wheel of Fortune. I used to watch both of them religiously, but
Wheel of Fortune, like, to me, I finally accepted that show is for like 70-year-olds and older. Like,
I don't know about you think?
I'm not sure I would do well at it because there are some challenging things, but it's just boring. It's just okay, solve the puzzle, and a lot of times you'll solve it in your head and watch them fumble over it for the next 4 minutes. You're just like, this is not great. And Pat Sajak's final show is next week.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
It's like Ryan Seacrest.
They're going to put a Ryan Seacrest on. Oh, no one's going to watch it then.
I did find there is a Jeopardy archive site. We can actually do this on our shows in the near future. Dave and I do this quite often. There is a fan-run website that documents every single Jeopardy show ever. And they just added recently a search feature. Like, we can go search categories like college football or baseball. We can go get the actual sports categories from Jeopardy shows.
I love that, but they had too much time on their hands. And I wonder also if you can find out if Jeopardy's ever recycled a category.
Probably have. I'm sure they have at some point.
Yeah.
Got to be some questions here and there. All right, Adam, you got 54 seconds. Give the people some advice to better their lives.
Get out this weekend before it gets oppressively hot. Look, we're not going to have this much longer, Logan. We're not going to have this beautiful sunny weather with no humidity. Take advantage of it now because before you know it, you're going to be sweating all of the pounds off you just by going outside.
And you got to get the body powder out just to sleep at night, if you know what I'm saying.
I don't like that. I don't like that powder.
If you need the powder, you've had a bad afternoon. Yeah. Let's just say that. But use deodorant out there. There's my advice.
That's a good one. Good one.
We're all about to start sweating here pretty profusely. All right, I think Ringo will be in studio tomorrow.
Can't wait to see that guy.
We're getting him acclimated.
Can't
he chewed
wait.
One of my national championship hats
it's
this
all
week.
Right. Hey, it's all right. I'm going to bring him some treats this time. I went over to Petco and got
That's
some.
That's what
so,
I'm talking about. Yeah. Cannot be mad at the Ringo, man. All right, Adam, see you next week.
Yeah, man.
June is upon us. The Braves will start batting. I have a bold prediction. We'll see you next week on the Second String, WGAU.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.